Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting...
Let him play!
Down 21-0 in the fourth quarter, they kicked a field goal. Fire everybody. Disband the program.
Oh yeah, another clank by Carmelo. Oh, that poor Porzingis!
Clank.
I like that, Dave. I'm in foreclosure because I lost my arch.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big baseball and football show here in the city on the Ditkow Sports Network. Good to have you with us from the Dave in the City studios in sunny Southern California. Really eventful week in sports altogether, and we actually will throw some baseball talk to start our program, and then we'll get into our usual stuff with the football picks. Ron in New Jersey will not be with us tonight. He is with family at an open house at school, so that's pretty cool. And also joining us tonight is our next guest picker, and we also thank Kevin on the Cape for joining us last week, and we'll tell you how he did in just a moment. So we're just waiting on everybody to get here, and then we will start football picks for week number 5. It's a very exciting time. So the reason that I wanted to start with baseball is there's really a lot of baseball news to get into, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it, but it was really moments of tragedy, but moments of triumph too, for the human condition, and also the end of an era for baseball broadcasting. And I'll basically, those topics are Jose Fernandez, who died. I mean, this guy was so good. He was such a great pitcher. He was just one of the best pitchers in the game, period. And it looked like he was on his way to a potential Hall of Fame career. Well, time would have told that story. Unfortunately, his life cut short in a boating accident on Saturday night. So sad, just so sad. I mean, when I woke up to it in the morning, couldn't believe it. I was absolutely shocked. Just could not get over how such a young guy like that could be gone so quickly. And people on the Marlins were just so devastated by the news. And you know, I know we're doing football right now, but this certainly was a big story just for everybody. I mean, it's as some people said, it's bigger than baseball. It was definitely a story about youth and how things did not go well for one such youth. And it's just so sad because he was such a happy guy. Like, he was real. Everybody loved him. And he was great. I remember the last start he had against the Dodgers in Miami, and he was dealing. I can't believe that a guy like him is going to leave us so soon. That's all. It's never good when anybody dies too early, but somebody of his caliber and somebody of that caliber of a person too. It's just sad. It's just really sad to see. Now, later in baseball, during the day of Sunday, it was Vin Scully's final home game, and he really had quite a send-off for his last home game at Dodger Stadium. It was the ninth inning, and the Dodgers were down to their last out, and Corey Seager hits a home run to tie the game. And everybody thought the game was over. Even Vin thought, oh man, if the Dodgers could have just scored those runs earlier in the game, Seager saves the game. And then later in the game, Charlie Culberson, a guy you would never confuse for a home run hitter, he's probably shorter than you and me, hits a home run into the bullpen to clinch the National League West division for the LA Dodgers. Granted, the Dodgers were about to clinch it anyway because the Giants were losing their game, and eventually they did only seconds later, but it doesn't matter. Clinching it on their terms, a big deal, and Vin Scully certainly very happy about that. And then he ended his broadcasting career at home with a song that he presented that he originally recorded for his wife, a rendition of Bette Midler's The Wind Beneath My Wings. So that was really fun. Unfortunately, the computer's been having some real problems lately, the recording computer, so I don't have time to really get into... I don't really have time to present the audio itself, but maybe we'll do that next week, because next week we've got the... We have the MLB postseason preview on Tuesday night. That's coming up with Jerry in Piscataway and Ari in Philadelphia. So we'll preview all the matchups, and we'll have a lot of fun, so it should be a good time. We're still waiting on Andy in Seattle, but we'll have him on at some point soon. And let me then present to you then college football, pro football, baseball. There are big games involved in all the sports right now. But specifically in college, you have conference showdowns in the West. You have a conference showdown in the Midwest. You have a conference showdown in the Atlantic on Saturday night. It is going to be good because they've got all sorts of stuff on the table. Let's hit it! Football picks, week 5. And I tell you, the best part of this show, I don't think, is the picks themselves, because we still don't have a winning week from last week. It's been pretty crazy. But Andy in Seattle had the best week of all of us with a 2-2 mark. And since he had the tiebreakers for having the better season record, he currently has the win of the week. John in Connecticut was in second for the week at 2-2. And I, Dave in the City, did not do well by any means, but I'm still in third place at 1-3. Unfortunately, our friend Ron in New Jersey went 0-4. Gosh, and some of those games were so close, too. And so, gosh, it just breaks my heart to see that. But we are rooting for... I gotta stop mushing his picks. But anyway, that's the story. So, your standings after 4 weeks. Andy is in first place at 7-6-1. John is in second at 5-8-1. Dave is in third place at 4-10. And Ron is in last at 2-12. Andy has joined us on the program, so let's get right to it. So we will introduce the panel and our new guest picker for the week. We've really had a great time. And I will also tease this a bit. We're going to have a returning guest picker next week. If things break our way, we should have Tommy back to break down what happened in the Louisville-Clemson game. And as far as the preview, that's coming up in just a few moments. So let's introduce our panel tonight. And again, with the recording computer having its issues, let's see if everybody can hear me. We begin with Andy in Seattle, who just joined us. Andy, how's it going?
Good. Just looking at the 10-day, checking out the 10-day, getting my agenda planned for the 10-day.
good stuff, buddy. Good stuff. We head into October. We're only a couple of days away from it. So there you go. Very good. So now let's all introduce to the program John in Connecticut. John, welcome back. How's it going tonight?
Good, Dave. Glad to be back on the show. Kind of interesting because your next guest could also be, I guess, called John in Connecticut. So we'll have to be careful here with our when you're kind of prompting us.
That's a great point. But we do introduce our next guest, and he is the guest picker this week. On this program, we will call him John in Stanford, but everybody else calls him Yachts. Yachts, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Dave, my phone just went Jim for a second. I don't know if you picked up on that, but I'm glad I got back on right away.
The timing was impeccable. I did see it on the Skype, but, you know, we love to make these smooth transitions, so didn't miss a beat, John. Good to have you back with us.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks.
Yeah, you got it. So we're going to start the program tonight since there's just so much good stuff happening in baseball. And we mentioned at the end of last week's show that we are in baseball mode. So I'll give it to everyone quickly to give their baseball thoughts. I shared some of the topics at the start of the show. First, the incredibly tragic death of Jose Fernandez. I mean, he was great. Now, I don't know if he pitched against the Yankees, John, but he certainly pitched against a lot of teams in the National League and was the victor in those. Good stuff. So we have that. Vince Scully's final season. Really, it's just from Friday up through Sunday. It was just a magnificent weekend for the Dodgers and Vince Scully himself. I mean, that presentation on Friday blew me away. Wasn't ready for that. I thought, maybe there'd be like a 10-minute thing. They'd give him like a little award, a little plaque or something. And no, it was just like, this was a full-blown one-hour ceremony. It was amazing. And if you need to see the highlights of that, just go to Dodgers.com. You'll find them there. So there's that. And then the wildcard races. The divisions are all figured out. And I don't know if the Red Sox clinched officially tonight, but they will at some point. Great job out of them. And then you've got the wild card races. So that's it for baseball for now. But let's see if Andy and John and maybe even... Oh, that's right. John, you're right about this. If Andy, Yachts, and or even John might have some opinions about the baseball that just occurred and is occurring. So baseball thoughts. We will begin with Andy. So, you know, you're a big fan of Vince Scully, so I wanted to hear your thoughts on that, too. Your thoughts on baseball.
Well, yeah, Vin is amazing.
did the same thing for 67 years. Now, I don't care how much you pretend to claim you love your job or how much you like your job, how much you put up with your job, but to do the same thing for 67 years, I think it's safe to say Vin Scully loved his job. Arguably, Vin Scully might have been the best person at his specific job. I know Mike, for instance, used to say Tiger Woods was the best thing, was the best at his specific thing, but Vin might put up a fight. And the thing that was great about Vin is he just would let the game breathe. You know, Vin didn't really say much. A lot of times in the big spot, he would just not say a word, and you would just hear the crowd or the silence if it was on the road. And he just did his thing. He's like the antithesis of some of these other guys that just feel like they have to squeal like little girls, you know, in the bottom of the ninth on a game winner. You know, just let the viewer or the listener, you know, soak it all in. So I thought it was amazing. And I'll probably tune in on Sunday when he does his last game at San Francisco. As for the division and the wild card and all that stuff, well, the Blue Jays just lost in the top of the ninth. And so that means the Red Sox are officially AL East champions. No place better to do that than Yankee Stadium, although Fenway would have been nice too. But to do it in enemy territory is nice. But Toronto was winning in the top of the ninth, and we had them, so we're trying to suppress our outrage a little bit. Taking deep breath. And it's going to be real exciting from here on out. The AL wild card, the NL wild card, every day is a new story. It twists and turns. But, you know, October baseball will be here, and we're going to get ready for it.
Yeah, definitely. So let's go to Yachts then and get your thoughts on Vin Scully. You've been watching some of the I know from the texts that we've been exchanging that you've been watching some Dodger games all year too. So what are your reflections on the 67-year career of Vin Scully and also the wild card races?
Yeah, I mean, like Andy said and like you and pretty much like everyone, I definitely love Scully and I definitely will miss his style, which you're never going to have another one of him for a couple of reasons. One, if you notice, he never really reads any ads. So good luck getting another announcer in this day and age without something in his contract that requires him to read a bunch of ads throughout the broadcast, right? So that's a huge thing that you're just never going to see anymore. The second thing is that as much as the board makes fun of old Mongos calling Mike with stories from the 60s or the 50s or the 70s or whatever, I mean, that's a lot of what Vin does. And I mean, I enjoy those stories. So maybe that's a reflection of me being old. I have no idea, but I do enjoy them. And that stuff is not said much anymore. We're just bombarded with random stats constantly throughout the game. And the third thing is, you know, he does it without a partner, so he can, you know, a lot of times you're not going to get a guy that you're going to listen to for extended time because the sometimes even two other people in the booth are going to talk, so you know, it interrupts the flow a little bit as far as that's concerned. So definitely one of a kind, and definitely will not see someone like that again. As far as a wild card, you know, obviously the Yankees, you know, you knew they weren't going to make it, but until you're mathematically eliminated, you know, there's always that random chance, right? So I was watching it earlier, but then I left to come out to my car to speak to you. So I saw the Red Sox score, and I saw that the Orioles had gone ahead, so that pretty much that would eliminate the Yankees, assuming all that finishes that way. So that's the end of them officially.
All right. So thanks for the thoughts, Yachts. And now we go back to John. And I realize I'm wondering if you had just little John. I was wondering if you had any other thoughts on the baseball scenarios to share with us. And if not, it's fine. Just say you don't, but that's okay. What'd you think? What'd you think of the career of Vince Scully and all the baseball scenarios?
Yeah, nothing really else to add on Vince Scully that hasn't already been said. I mean, I'm certainly not in tune to his broadcasting style like you guys are. I mean, obviously, I've heard a few games, but nothing that I really can't comment on any more than what you guys have. And as far as like the wild card races, I haven't really been following it at all. We'll get into the mix with the playoffs next week, whoever is there, but I really don't have any thoughts to add on that situation.
No, no worries, no worries. It's all right. So let's now then segue onward to... Let's get to the recap of college football from last week. And so we will have a lot to say about that. So let us then go back to John in Connecticut and send it to him for the college recap. A lot of games occurred, of course. We had some wild finishes, and at the end of all of it, Les Miles got fired. Wow. You and Ron were certainly on top of that one. So, John, we'll hand it to you now for the college recap.
Yeah, crazy week of games, especially from a point spread standpoint. If you had if you had UCLA +3, and then a couple hours later, if you had Cal +4, I mean, it might be time to quit gambling. And even if earlier in the day you had Florida +6 up, 24-3 or 21-3, and they can't cover the spread. UCLA's up, 3 points or whatever it was with a minute left, and they give up a touchdown to Stanford, and then they get the strip sack and fumble that allows them to lose the spread. Cal is up 17, and they're getting 4, and Arizona State comes back to take the lead. But then, the back door is wide open for Cal, and they're like a professional team at getting, a backdoor cover with the way their offense is, designed. So they get the touchdown to get within 3 points, and then Arizona State runs back the onside kick for a touchdown. I've never seen that before, and Arizona State ends up covering. So for those scenarios, it was pretty crazy. Then you had that LSU-Auburn game where, the loser of that game, it was funny how it just literally came down to the bitter end. It was either going to be Les Miles fired on Sunday or Gus Malzahn fired on Sunday, whoever lost that game. And just so happened to be Les. I mean, the refs really, I think, kind of botched that, that 10-second runoff penalty, which should have ended the game. So I think on the next play where, LSU gets the touchdown, but then they go to review it and said, well, he didn't get the play off. I think that was kind of a makeup call maybe. Who knows? But that was certainly just a crazy, crazy game. Mentioned Tennessee. These teams are just kind of, folding for them here in the fourth quarter. I don't know what else to say. We'll have to see what happens as the rest of the SEC season goes on. But not a good look for these SEC East teams, especially Florida on Saturday. And then you had, let me see what else here. It was in the top 25. Oh, Florida State rebounded with a nice win over South Florida. And then the Arkansas-Texas A&M game, which was kind of the other top 25 matchup. Arkansas was right in the game. It's 17-17, and then they get stuffed on fourth and goal at the one-yard line. And then A&M scores like a 90-yard pass, and that was kind of the end of it. And very surprising to see Wisconsin just dominate Michigan State. So we'll see if they're for real this week at Michigan. If they can win that game, then we can start considering them legit contenders. But that was certainly an impressive performance on Saturday.
Yeah, I got to give it to Wisconsin. I was certainly unprepared for that. I mean, Michigan State turned the ball over and over and over and over and over again. So we'll preview that game that Wisconsin has against Michigan in a couple minutes. So let me just give you some quick thoughts before I give it to Annie. And I want to feed off of your point about the Tennessee game. I mean, what is it with all these teams that go against Tennessee and spit the bit? I mean, they were up 21-0 in the first half. Then 38 unanswered points by Tennessee against the Florida Gators. I mean, you just can't make it up. How the hell did that happen? I'm just, that was really ridiculous. That's sort of my takeaway from last week. And it was also ridiculous to see Stanford cover the spread after the way that they were struggling during the game. But you got to give it to them. I mean, to come back from that on the road and everything. Well, I mean, they did have a moment of moxie there. I will give them that. So now let's go to Andy in Seattle for the college football recap.
Well, yeah, I did have Florida +6. I did have Cal +4. And, I never go to the window. I never, ever, ever go to the window prematurely because you see too many examples where you just get backdoored. You remember the backdoors when you're on the losing end much more than you do when you win on a backdoor. So when Florida, I had to listen to the second half on the radio going to this lame-ass wedding, and you just hear Tennessee score. You hear them score, and then Florida, three and out, punt. Tennessee score, Florida, three and out, punt. Tennessee score, Florida, three and out, punt. Tennessee score. And now I have to pretend to enjoy myself. I'm looking at my phone like a antisocial clown. It's like, Tennessee is definitely covering this game. Now I have to wait. Oh, you look nice. I don't care. I'm bitter. Now I'm following Arkansas and Texas A&M. And A&M and Texas A&M and Arkansas looking good. I didn't realize Checker's narration is making my blood boil. I didn't realize it was 17-17 and the Razorbacks bungled it up at the one. I just saw the final score and thought, ugh, ugly game. And then I was late night watching the UW-Arizona game at the bar, and that was hysterical. No action there, just wanted to watch a close game, saw some overtime, but I did have that Cal game, and, you know, they were up either up, I think they were up four with 6 minutes left, and Arizona, I know they had some weird plays, or Arizona State had some weird plays, you know, that onside kick, you know, return for a touchdown, and, you know, to give up 24 points in 6 minutes, that is some really, really impressive schemes by Sonny Dykes there. I mean, gee whiz. And now Todd Graham's 4-0, and I don't know, I'm not touching Todd Graham. So just a very angry Saturday night and Saturday afternoon with these games. Was on the right end of the stick with Stanford. David Shaw, classic David Shaw. I guess he punted 4th-and-1 from midfield with like 4 minutes left. I mean, that is just classic David Shaw. Just stoic and conservative, and we will rely on the defense. And it paid off. He kept Rosen in check. You know, thanks for nothing, Georgia. Thanks for nothing, Florida. Thanks for nothing, Georgia Tech. No guts, Paul Johnson. It might be on the, I don't know, 2 years ago he was in a BCS game, and now his offense just looks prehistoric. Utah-USC Friday night was entertaining. USC was their own worst enemy, as we thought. Couldn't stop Utah, 4th-and-1, 3 separate times on the final drive. Notre Dame, I mean, is Exhibit A, Exhibit B, Exhibit D, Exhibit W, Exhibit Z, why you should not have preseason rankings. This team was, like, supposed to go to the playoff. They got 3 losses, and we're still in September. Enough. I don't want to hear a peep out of Notre Dame. And that was basically the weekend in my eyes.
Thanks for refreshing my memory on the Notre Dame game. That's a bad loss. Losing to Duke at home. Tough spot. Oof. Okay, so, John, I think Michigan did all right this weekend. So any thoughts on them and anything that you saw from college football's weekend recap? Oh, sorry, Yachts. Excuse me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I figured it was me. I actually had Michigan-Wisconsin is something I'm going to discuss later with my picks.
Ah, I don't know all right, if we're no problem.
To put a spoiler alert for that, but that's one of the games I you know, was looking at, as I'm sure you probably predicted. Anyway, as far as that Notre Dame game, I had a family function on Saturday, so I did not watch a ton of college football. But one thing I did see was how that Notre Dame game ended. And as far as entertainment purposes go, I was watching it with a anti-Notre Dame Mongo that was like the happiest guy you ever would see as that game ended. So I definitely do not have the content that the previous two guests have supplied. So I'll just leave it at that.
All right, no problem. Let's now get to this week's action, week number five in college football. Huge, huge conference matchups. And again, as I mentioned, they span the entirety of the United States. You start on the West on Friday, Stanford against Washington at 6 p.m. And Andy's not big on Washington. Well, Andy feels like Washington's overrated. And I tend to feel that way too.
But we will see. This is their chance. If they really want to mean something, this is their game. This will happen on Wednesday. So it'll be an interesting watch on ESPN. Saturday afternoon, you've got Wisconsin against Michigan. And that should be fun. We'll see if Wisconsin's really for real. I mean, so far they've looked pretty good. I mean, they beat LSU. They beat Michigan State. If they beat Michigan, wow, all of a sudden, things could be very interesting in the Big Ten. And the final game is Louisville-Clemson, which is really the game I think everyone's talking about here. Lamar Jackson has really carried Louisville to an unbelievable start. And Clemson has looked pretty shaky on the other hand. Even though they beat down Georgia Tech, Georgia Tech was the one that looked more lifeless than anything on the Thursday night game last week. So that was the biggest matchup, so there will be other matchups to cover as well. Let's go back to John in Connecticut for this week's college preview.
Yeah, those are the three games that you know, if you're kind of looking at the schedule and saying, you know, what are the games that you want to kind of make time to catch a little bit of, those are the three. You know, the thing about Washington is, you know, they haven't really been in this spot before. They're, you know, they were got all the preseason hype and, you know, all the pollsters and all the, you know, they got their quarterback returning, the running back, and lots of talented recruits. And, you know, this is the year that it all clicks in with UW. But, you know, Stanford is, they've been here in these kind of spots. So until Washington shows you that they're for real and that they're ready to be a contender, I mean, you kind of have to go with Stanford in these type of games. I'm, you know, I hate to say that as someone who is not really a fan of David Shaw either, but you can't deny that they win these type of games. So until that continues, I think you got to, until that, you know, Washington proves that they belong in, you know, the elite of the Pac-12 conference, I think you have to take Stanford in these type of matchups. You know, the Wisconsin-Michigan game should be interesting. You know, you've got to figure Michigan will win this one at home, but, you know, the spread's 10.5. Wisconsin has a very good defense, very good running game, and we'll see what happens. But you have to lead Michigan in that one. And I don't know what to make of Clemson and Louisville. Louisville's a 3-point favorite on the road. I mean, I know, you know, Clemson has really kind of maybe had a little bit of a hangover since they lost the championship game last year. And, you know, Deshaun Watson hasn't been his usual, star statistics and whatnot. And that's kind of Lamar Jackson has taken over that role and is the early Heisman favorite. But, you know, giving points on the road in Death Valley, I mean, that's a tough place to play. I don't know. I would kind of have to lean Clemson there. But we'll see how that one plays out. As for some other matchups, I mean, there's really isn't anything that great on the schedule. I mean, you have some games here and there that, you know, us college football mongos will be interested in. But I guess Georgia-Tennessee, again, another chance for an SEC team to kind of knock off Tennessee. Tennessee giving 4 on the road, which is interesting. I guess I would kind of lean Georgia maybe in that spot, but they've looked really bad this year. I don't know what to make of them, even as a home dog. So some interesting games and certainly a lot to look forward to this week.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped about this weekend. It should be some good stuff, and I like that there's a Friday game in the middle of that could be really juicy. So let's go to Andy in Seattle for the week preview in college football.
Yeah, you Stanford. I'm not too happy with the Friday night start. I wish it was on Saturday at 3 or prime time. Friday is just like a forced juice scenario, artificial juice. But John set up that game perfectly. It's I like when UW wins. I'm not like I don't hate UW, but I think they are potentially a house of cards because they got all this preseason hype. Now they dodged a bullet against Arizona on the road Saturday night. They didn't look great on defense, you know, and that's not their strong suit, even though the pollsters said they got a great defense returning. I mean, their octane is on the offensive side of things. But this is the deep end of the swimming pool for them. And it's going to be a packed house at Husky Stadium. The line is 3.5. I mean, you'd have to be a purple honky tonk to take UW given the 3.5. I mean, I think David Shaw is the most boring coach on the planet Earth, but I'm probably going to lean Stanford. You know, Stanford and UW, if you go back and look at them historically, Stanford's been known to just kind of push them around. They plod and pound the rock. They do third and short. They consume time of possession. As Kimbrell walks a guy, you fucking clown.
And, you know, they could get Washington frustrated. Now, the silver lining for UW is Stanford is playing without their two best cornerbacks. So we'll see how much depth Stanford has tomorrow or on Friday. One article that I saw was like, can David Shaw be conservative in Seattle? Like, what do you mean, can David Shaw be conservative? When is he not conservative? Because they were like, because he's got, quote unquote, his defense isn't at 100%. How conservative can he be? But he will. He'll find a way. It's David Shaw. But that's definitely a marquee game. Clemson, Louisville, I'll talk about that later. You know, John brought up an interesting Tennessee, Georgia game. We might talk about that later, too. All of us, PJ Fletmongos, might be interested in that Western Michigan, Central Michigan game, or if you're a degenerate. You've got Miami, Georgia Tech, UNC, FSU to kind of shake up that mediocre ACC conference. I'll be interested in Utah-Cal. Arizona UCLA is kind of a Shern game, but, you know, gambling be fun. I will admit when I'm wrong, so here's my self fun house. I thought Oregon would get better as the season went along. That was a bad loss at the hands of Colorado the other day, and maybe it's just not Oregon's year, and they've got an interesting matchup in Pullman against Washington State. So, as we head into October, we've got, you know, lots of conference games. You know, like I said earlier, Todd Graham 4-0, Utah 4-0. So the Pac-12 is, you know, not your typical Pac-12 with USC and UCLA having down years, Oregon having down years. SEC is still a pretty blurry picture. You know, Texas A&M seems to start 4-5-0 every year. They're 4-0 going on the road at South Carolina. So now it's just a matter of you know, bubbles bursting week in and week out because, you know, things will try to take care of themselves.
Well, we usually see the regression to the mean, what you would call course correction as the season goes along. We're not quite halfway through the year, but, you know, that second half will really tell a lot of stories, I believe, in college football's top 25. So now let's go to Yachts for the preview of that Wisconsin-Michigan game. That should be, as Vince Scully would say, a dandy. Let's hear your preview of the Wisconsin-Michigan game and other college action.
Well, Dave, before I get to that, I just want to say I'm absolutely floored that no one has discussed Rutgers-Ohio State. I expected to talk about that for the 2 hours. But anyway, do you want to know what I'm doing on Saturday? I'm actually going to be in the building for Notre Dame Syracuse.
Oh, wow. Reason.
So, I mean, the thing is, though, I agreed to go to this game back in March when my cousin, who's a huge Notre Dame mongo, decided to invite, like, you know, 16 people. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll go. I didn't even bother to look at anything. And then now I'm like, what would I rather do, that or watch Wisconsin, Michigan in its entirety? And obviously I'd rather be watching Wisconsin, Michigan. But my plan is that, you know, that game's, the Notre Dame game's at noon, Wisconsin game's at 3:30. So I don't know. I'm hoping by the time I get back from that, maybe I can see the second half. I'm hoping, but that's kind of depressing, to be honest with you.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I can imagine. Especially
all
Notre
the games to go to, right? Notre Dame.
I know.
So that's where I'll be on Saturday.
Got you.
But as far as the preview for the Wisconsin Michigan game, do you want me to do that now or when I? Because that's one of my.
Is it when you pick? Okay, then we will save it for picks. In that case, let's not waste any more time. We will go to the picks. Let's go with Andy in Seattle, who is leading the contest and won the week. Andy, you've got first word. It's all yours.
All right. I wrote five games down. I also can only pick two. So we'll go with the first game that I like, I guess, the most. Now, I heard John say it was a three-point line, but I wrote down two. But, Dave, it's your show, so whatever you want. I'm taking the underdog. So if you say three, I'm not going to be disappointed. But I'm going to take Clemson at Clemson against Louisville. And you can argue that both offenses are kind of mirror images. Obviously, Louisville has been a little more impressive or a lot more impressive in September. They've just steamrolled their opponents. However, I think if there's going to be any time for Clemson to turn on the light, it would be this weekend because, you know, this is it, you know, and, that Florida State game down the road means nothing if they can't take care of business 3 days from now. And I still think as great as Petrino has been so far, I lean Dabo Swinney, for even though he was really stupid earlier this year when he with that fourth down scenario that kind of ticked me off. I think that might have been the first game of the year that was really stupid of him. I still lean in his direction over Petrino. I don't know who Clemson's defensive coordinator is, but he's a ooga booga guy. So hopefully he can get that defense ooga booga'd up and can create some turnovers. Because Louisville has not really turned the ball over. What's weird, the worst Louisville has actually looked was like that second half game at Syracuse, because the receivers were dropping balls all over the place. Petrino was yelling at a field goal kicker. It was really a sight to be seen. So maybe they can get a little sloppy, because they haven't looked sloppy against. They didn't look sloppy against FSU. They didn't look sloppy against Marshall. And like I said, if there's going to be any time for the light to turn on for Clemson, it's going to be this weekend. And I also think coming off a big win against Florida State and then the Marshall game and then this game, it might be a lot for Louisville to handle. So give me Clemson as their wake-up show scenario, getting either two or three, depending on what Dave wants to do. Game number two, I will take, out of spite, I will take Miami giving 7 at Georgia Tech. Now, it feels like Miami hasn't played in a month, even though it's only been 2 weeks. That was when they won at Appalachian State. They killed them. We took Appalachian State that weekend, but that was the wrong play. So we will take Kaya in Miami this week. This is basically Red Sox walk-off loss. That's nice. This is a game where we are basically anti-Georgia Tech. They showed me nothing last Thursday. And I'm hoping Miami, with their 2 weeks of no games or practicing for that triple option, which looked like a piece of dung against Clemson last week. So study that game tape and figure it out. Miami, I don't really know what to expect out of Miami by the end of the year, but Kaya is a really good quarterback. He's the guy that, you know, the little choo-choo that can, I guess. And for all of Al Golden's foibles with X's and O's, he recruits a lot of talent, and that talent's still there for Mark Richt. So, you know, give me Mark Richt over Paul Johnson Saturday. Miami -7 for game number one. And Clemson getting either 2 or 3 for game number two.
Okay, thanks for the pick, Sandy. We'll go with 2 because that's what it says on Vegas Insider, so I will trust their sources. So good luck to the picks. Let's now go to John in Connecticut for his week number 5 college picks. John, it's yours. Take it away.
All right, Dave. We'll start off with an old favorite and angle of mine. I've mentioned it many times on the show. I'm not sure what the record is this year, but it's where the home team is unranked, giving points to a ranked team. And you have this exact scenario here with Utah and Cal. Cal giving 1.5 to Utah, and Utah's 4-0, ranked number 18 in the country, and Cal is just immediately 2-2. I guess it's kind of sad that we've seen just about, I'd seen anyway, just about almost every Cal game. It was just kind of how the schedule has worked out. You know, they played the game in Hawaii. They played the game in Australia against Hawaii, which is kind of a standalone game. And they had that wild late-night game against Texas. And then, of course, the game against Arizona State last week. Oh, and then the San Diego State game as well, week 2. That was a really good game, too. So we've watched a lot of Cal this year. And, their offense is, that air raid offense is very explosive, as you might imagine. Davis Webb, the guy that replaced Goff, I mean, he runs the offense just as well, maybe even better. I mean, they just go up and down the field with ease. And as we saw against Texas, they are a very good team at home, running that offense very efficiently. And the line, I just think this is just betting the line here. I mean, any, you know, I guess Joe Public average gambler, not to say I'm not an average gambler, because I am, but, you know, you would look at this and say, oh my God, the 18th ranked team in the country, undefeated, getting a point and a half. I mean, I'm going to be over that all day. Well, maybe Utah, you know, they kind of pulled that game out of their rear end last week against USC. I mean, they haven't been really that impressive. I know they have a very good coaching staff, and, you know, they run the ball well, and they always have good special teams, but their quarterback isn't the most efficient player. I believe his name is Troy Williams, and I just don't think when it comes down to it that they'll be able to keep up score for score in this kind of game with Cal. And so that's why we're going to take Cal, giving the point and a half, essentially a pick on just being able to win the game, and I think they will do so. It should be a pretty exciting game, as Cal games always seem to be. So we'll go with the Golden Bears -1.5 for game two. For game one, excuse me. For game two, we'll go to the Big 12, and we will take TCU getting 3.5 at home against Oklahoma. Now, this line might be a trap, because TCU, I mean, they've looked okay this year. They certainly, you know, people were picking them to maybe be a playoff contender. I don't see that. But again, you know, Oklahoma was in the top five to start the year, and they certainly had played horrible. I mean, you know, they destroyed their one weak opponent in Louisiana Monroe, but the other two games against Houston and Ohio State, which were legitimate teams, they just, you know, got destroyed in both games. I don't think TCU is quite at that level, but again, TCU, a very good home team, very well coached, and now this is just, like I said before the year, Oklahoma, they were just set up for a, you know, kind of a down year once everyone threw all that kind of hype on them. Their defense has not been very good, and look for TCU to continue to exploit that. They won this game here at TCU 2 years ago, so they play Oklahoma well here, and you're getting a field goal and then the half point as well, which might come into play. So until Oklahoma shows me that, you know, they're, you know, going to turn this season around, I'll keep fading them. So we'll go TCU +3.5 for game number two, in addition to Cal -1.5 for the first game.
All right, thanks very much for those picks, John, and good luck to them. Let's now go to my picks. I was 1-3 last week. I am 4-10 on the year. Something's got to go right. Let's find out. We start our first game in Central Michigan. Not too far from where Ann Arbor is, but kind of far. But really, the point of this is we are going to be PJ Fleck Mongos for the week yet again. Western Michigan giving 3.5 at Central Michigan. Central Michigan's had its moments. Certainly, they had that big win against Oklahoma State on the road a few weeks ago. And Western Michigan's just been rolling. They creamed Illinois. They crushed Georgia Southern. That was a good pick, John. And here they are again, giving 3.5. I will take them on the road, sure. But, you know, as we've been saying, this is a team that PJ Fleck recruits very, very well. And I do think that they'll have the wherewithal to get it even on the road, even with the extra half a point. So Western Michigan -3.5. Game number two. It's over. I have had enough of this team all season long. I mean, I can't get over how bad they've been in certain spots, and yet how lucky they've been able to get away with all of these games. Week number one, they get away with it against Appalachian State. Week number two, they get away with it against Virginia Tech and the Motor Speedway. Week number three, after being behind by 3 touchdowns, I mean, you just don't see this stuff. It's just like John and Ron had been saying. The other teams have just simply laid down for this team, and I speak, of course, of the Tennessee Volunteers. So, sorry, Marquis, but I'm going to go with Georgia, despite the fact that they have been terrible. They lost by like 30 points to Ole Miss last week. Nick Chubb is questionable to start. He's got a bum ankle. I don't care. It's over. It's over, Tennessee. You've had enough dealings with the devil. You've run out of lives. We're going to go Georgia +4 at home in Athens against Tennessee. By the way, Georgia is riding a 10-game win streak against Tennessee. I realize that there was a 11-game win streak for Florida against Tennessee 2 last week, but this time it's going to work. So I believe in Kirby Smart. We're going to go Georgia in this one. So to repeat, Western Michigan -3.5, Georgia +4. The Dave in the City Week 5 college picks. Yeah, I'm fed up with this team. I really am. Enough of these guys. Let's go to Ron in New Jersey's picks. We'll roll them out for you. Well, here you go. We got some interesting juice here. Ron is going to go checker on a checker with my previous pick of Western Michigan. He has them -3.5 at Central Michigan in game number one. Game number two, he's going to go with a pretty chalky pick. Alabama -35 at Bryant-Denny Stadium against Kentucky. So there you go. Well, Ron in New Jersey's week five college picks. Again, Western Michigan -3.5. Alabama -35. So that brings us to our guest picker, and he is Yachts, and he is ready, hopefully, with the Week 5 college picks. So, Yachts, it's all yours whenever you're ready to go.
Thanks, Dave. My first game is Michigan-Wisconsin. The number I saw was Michigan -10.5, which I just think it's a big number. And we all know I'm a Michigan fan, and I'm pulling for them to win. But let's dissect it a little bit, all right? I mean, who has Michigan played this year? Nobody. Hawaii, UCF, Colorado, Penn State. I mean, where's the test there exactly? And, you know, I love Jim Harbaugh. Last year, he had Jake Rudock kind of come out of nowhere and did a good job. We didn't know who the quarterback was going to be this year. It ends up being Wilton State. And the receiving corps is the same as last year with Chesson and Darbo and Butt. Running game's good. Now, here's the thing, though. Wisconsin is not going to be intimidated going to Ann Arbor at all. Their defense is good. They just went on the road and destroyed Michigan State, right? They're ranked number 8 right now. Michigan's ranked number 4. So you have two top 10 teams. I just think that's a big number. So if you told me that Wisconsin, if I didn't look at the number and you said, and you told me that you thought Wisconsin was going to win outright, I wouldn't jump down your throat. I'd be like, yeah, okay, there's a chance of that happening. So now you're giving me 10.5 points. So just based on that, I think I'm going to definitely take Wisconsin. Who's going to win outright? That could go either way. So for that reason, I will take Wisconsin. Game two, another number that jumped out at me was Arizona State, USC -10. Now, I know you can't look at record because USC is 1-3 and Arizona State's 4-0, but USC's had a tough schedule so far. You know, they had to play Stanford and Alabama, so, and who was Arizona State played, right? But here's the thing. Arizona State scores a lot of points. USC has given up a lot of points. Now, I know USC has changed their quarterback, and he looked really good last week, but I don't know. Is he the next big thing, or is that a lot of hype? Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. But I think a double-digit spread might be a little cart before the horse scenario in that situation. So maybe this is a trap game for a fool like me, but I'm still going to take Arizona State getting the 10 points.
All right. Thank you very much for the picks, John and / Yachts. Well done. Very well done. So 10.5. Yeah, that's a lot of points to give to a team like that. That really just does... Undisciplined team, brutal defense, gives up leads late. I'm not with it at all. So, but we'll see. Like you said, I mean, it's hard to say at this point. So, good stuff. Let's go to the NFL. Let's get our NFL recaps in. And for this week, we will begin with our friend Andy in Seattle. Andy, your NFL recap from week number 3.
Let me just catch my breath here. I'm just went on Twitter and just got too many LOL Kimbrel scenarios. I mean, he did it to himself, but like all these Yankee fans being like, the Red Sox suck. They still won the division. It's awkward. They gave up a walk-off grand slam, but they still won. The Kimbrel VRA takes a hit, but let's focus on the NFL. So here we go. Called it on the Patriots. Ron called it on the Bills, but he's not here, but congratulations, Ron. LOL Steelers, LOL Bears, LOL Giants. I mean, the freaking Giants are in cruise control last week in the third quarter, up 14-6, 14-9, whatever it was, and then they just get careless, they get sloppy, they let Kirk Cousins turn into... You know, Joe Theismann,
Eli throwing interceptions. I don't know if they were his fault or I don't know. I've yet to see an interception where every Giant fan has been in agreement saying that it's his fault. The punting situation was a disaster. Just sloppy play out of the Giants. They are. I know they're 2-1, but they are the most fraudulent 2-1 that I can see. They barely beat Dallas by a point. They couldn't even score against the Saints defense that basically gave up 85 points to Atlanta the other night. And then Washington was one win away from basically being dead for the season, and then they went on the road. And McAdoo-Doo, probably saying all the right things, we'll protect the Duke, we'll get better. I'm sorry, you're walking into a buzzsaw next week against Minnesota. We'll talk about that game later, but fuck the Giants. They think they're so fucking classy. All they do is they're so undisciplined. And I know I'm spoiled with a Patriot fan and watching Bill be smug and arrogant, and, you know, they're very disciplined. You don't see them having all sorts of yellow laundry all over the field. The Giants can't get out of their own fucking way. I don't care if you have Spags, Coughlin, anybody calling the shots. They are just such clowns. So there's my Giant rant. I am impressed by the Vikings. You guys were on top of that. I mean, without their original starting quarterback and without AP, they don't miss a beat. Something's wrong with Carolina. We'll talk about that later, perhaps. Seahawks got their act in gear. I guess anyone can do that against San Francisco. The Browns continue to be the Browns. I mean, gee whiz. And the Jets took a step back. I don't know what to think about the Jets. I mean, they looked great offensively against the Bills a couple Thursday nights ago. And then Ryan Fitzpatrick, I mean, we'll talk about those New York quarterbacks on Sunday. I mean, between the two of them, I mean, it was just like, my goodness. But, you know, some of the Jet fans are still impressed. Like, he tried his hardest. He tried his hardest. But, I mean, geez, all you had to do in the red zone at that point is just, I mean, sometimes 3 points is better than a pick six or even just a regular interception. Yes, I had the Jets. That's why I'm extra angry right now. But, geez, can you have a little bit of respect to the pigskin? You can't just throw the ball into the hands of the Chiefs. But, and then, yeah, crash and burn on Sunday night. Everything was going wrong. I liked the Cowboys at 9 a.m., but when 4:45, when all my games going bunk, 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 I was like, yeah, I'm going to take the Bears, the same Bears team that drove me to insanity on Monday when they played who the Bears play last Monday? The Eagles. I was like, I'm gonna take the Bears again. Yeah, let's take Brian Hoyer on Sunday night. That'd be smart. And I was like, are we gonna see the Dallas punter? I haven't seen the Dallas punter yet. It finally came out in the third quarter. But and John Fox, the one time he tries to get aggressive, he does an onside kick. And actually, they recovered it, but they called offside on the specials. So I was like, John Fox, wrong time to get aggressive. That was just an embarrassment. I think the Bears are going to be a pretty bad, but good job by Dallas. They put America to sleep on that Sunday night game. And John's Packers team looked very good, at least for the first three quarters. Aaron Rodgers got his mojo back, and that could only be positive things for the Packers and scary things for the rest of that division, except for the Vikings.
Well, you're right about the Vikings. Andy, and it's true that John called this last week when we were head-to-head on that Carolina-Minnesota game, and I don't know what happened with the Panthers, but you're right, something's amiss. Got to give it to the Vikings defense. That defense was really good. You know, Kelvin Benjamin had zero catches in that game at Carolina last week, so that's a pretty wild performance by any defense to limit a guy like him to zero catches. That's incredible. So I don't even know if they had a touchdown in the game, Carolina. I don't think they did. So that was pretty rough for them. So, John, let's get your weekend recap. What do you have to say about the Vikings? Wow, these guys got pretty good all of a sudden.
Yeah, Dave. Unfortunately, as a Packers fan, I was kind of hoping maybe they'd lose but cover. But, man, their defense is good, and maybe it's kind of a I shouldn't feel so bad about them shutting down Rodgers the week before. You know, I was kind of despondent over how Rodgers was playing. I mean, obviously, it kind of went back towards last year, but I guess I can kind of hope that he played bad and they were still within three. So maybe by the end of the year when they play again, we'll have things figured out. But the Vikings, very impressive. I do still kind of think it's a little bit of smoke and mirrors because, they're scoring defensive touchdowns and the whole deal. So maybe that will come back down to earth a little bit. But you can't deny that their defense is probably the best in the league at the moment. And, they're making things happen. So got to give them credit. And, Monday night should be interesting, Giants and Vikings. Now, if I said to you before the season, say that maybe January 1st, that, Trevor Siemian would be starting for the Broncos and would be 3-0 and actually look like a really good NFL quarterback. I mean, I picked the Bengals in that game, and, they were daring him to throw the ball, and he played a phenomenal game, 4 touchdowns, over 300 yards, and that really should open things up for the rest of their offense. As a C.J. Anderson fantasy owner, that game really made me happy because now the teams, Siemian proved he could throw the deep ball, they're going to back off a little bit, and there'll be some running lanes for Anderson. I was very impressed with them. I picked the Bengals, and, they spit the bed, but, the Broncos, very impressive with Siemian. Carson Wentz, too. Who would have thunk it? It's funny how, kind of the chain of reaction happens. Say Teddy Bridgewater doesn't get hurt, doesn't blow out his knee. Is Wentz even starting right now? And, what's the Vikings record with Bridgewater? And what's the Eagles record with Bradford starting? Are they both 3-0? I mean, I guess we'll never know. It's kind of the mysteries of the NFL. I know, to kind of think of that. And then my Packers, very, very pleased to see Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson kind of have that connection that they had 2 years ago in 2014. You saw that in the first half. Got that huge 31-3 lead, and especially since they were missing 5 defensive starters. They did pretty well to hold the Lions down for a while. And, obviously you get up so big, you're going to play a little bit of prevent defense. So, I get it. I don't like the fact that they, got so close within a touchdown, but it is what it is. Eddie Lacy looked great. I mean, they need to get him some more carries. He's averaging like 5 or 6 yards a carry, so we'll see what happens after the bye. And the bye week comes at a good time for them, like I said, with all those defensive starters. Let's see what else here. It's over in New Orleans. I am never going to pick the Saints again in my life. Andy, if I ever say I'm taking the Saints, please tell me to slap me upside the head or something. It's just done. They're done. I called it last year. I was so stupid thinking the karma or whatever for 10 years of Katrina was going to boost them somehow the other night. It's so ridiculous. They're the worst team. Them and the Bears are like the worst team in the NFL. Might be as bad as the Browns. At least the Browns try. They sent the game to overtime. The Saints are just a complete joke. And one last thing, Carson Palmer can go fuck himself. 4 interceptions against the Buffalo Bills. They made Fitzpatrick look like a freaking Hall of Famer, and this clown goes in there with maybe the best receiving core in the NFL, and he's throwing 4 interceptions. Get bent, Carson Palmer.
That was a shock, no question. I mean, but then again, everybody was saying it could be a trap, and there was. I mean, the Bills just out of nowhere just went in and just dominated the Cardinals, and that's part of what makes them the Cardinals. They can do that sometimes. It's just very strange. So one other note I wanted to make about the NFL last week, I think the Rams might be one of the most overrated defenses in the NFL because I thought, you know what? When Tampa Bay was about to play them on Sunday, I thought that Jameis Winston was going to have a performance similar to the one he had at Arizona, interestingly, the week before. Instead, he ends up having like 32 fantasy points, like all these touchdowns. I mean, how good could the Rams really be if they're giving up 32 to the Tampa Bay Bucks? So I wasn't very impressed at all with that defense. They got this defense. They're so tough. It's like, come on. Overrated. Overblown. Okay, let's go to John in Stamford, a.k.a. Yachts. Let's get your recap. I realize that the Colts and the Chargers went back and forth, but... Well, I'll let you hand take it from there. John, let's get your week recap from the NFL.
Dave, it's a new year, but as many things are new, so many things stay the same. And I'm going to start with two teams that I'm so sick and tired of hearing about them every single year. And those two teams are the Texans and the Bengals every year. This is their year. This is their year. I swear to God, I've been hearing that longer than the Texans has been in existence, that this is their year. Okay? I'm so tired of hearing about it. I have no idea why Marvin Lewis wasn't fired after that meltdown by his defense last year. I have no idea. It doesn't make any sense. I still don't know why he wasn't fired. Anyway, now we'll get to the Browns. The Browns are the Browns. And people say, okay, why? You know, you can't say that you can't go from year to year because the players are different. So just because a team did something this many years ago doesn't mean the same team's going to do something later because it's different players. Well, then explain to me teams like the Browns. Okay, I was actually at a Dolphins bar when I saw him line up for that field goal, and I'm like, he's missing this thing. He's not, you know, it's like, no, because he's on the Browns. That's why. That's the reason. Okay? The Chargers, the same crap. This is a team that I don't have anything in front of me right now, but if you're talking about amount of time in a game that they've been winning this season, they were winning the entire Chiefs game, they won the Jacksonville game, and they were winning most of the Colt game. You know what a good team does in that situation? They're 3-0. What are the Chargers? 1-2. Okay? Why? You think the Patriots would be 1-2 if they were winning the amount of time that the Chargers were winning? No chance in hell, okay? That's the Chargers. Now we'll go to the flip side. The Patriots, they could put me at quarterback and they'd probably go 16-0, okay? Let's be real here for a second, all right? The Rams, you brought them up. This is weeks 1 and 2 sum up the Rams perfectly, okay? They get destroyed by the Niners, and then they destroy the Seahawks. That's what the Rams are. They've been doing that for how many years? Was it surprising? I don't know. If you follow what the Rams do, I don't think it was that surprising, to be honest with you. And here's another one, the Broncos, okay? Of course they're 3-0. Of course they are. Who's the quarterback? Oh, I don't know. Trevor Siemian, who's that? Oh, they're 3-0. All right. So as much as things you say, oh, everything's new, it's a new year, have some faith, have some faith. Well, how much of it is identical year after year? The two exceptions, I will say, though, you alluded to Arizona. I don't know what's going on there. I thought they were going to beat Buffalo last week. Basically, if Rob Ryan is your defensive coordinator, I assume you're going to lose the game. That's pretty much where I'm at with them. And Carolina, I'm not sure what's going on with them either. I definitely would not expect them to be 1-2.
Well, I mean, game one was...
Oh, and one other quick thing. The Jets, I don't know what that was. I mean, going into Arrowhead is not easy. I probably would have said that the Chiefs were going to win, but I didn't think they were going to win like that. That was like, that was brutal. But anyway, that's... I'm not sure what the Jets are.
I guess we'll find out in a couple more weeks about the Jets. So they tend to have those moments where they can really rise and have a great performance, and then they can do that. Like, so it's hard to say at this point. But I mean, the Steelers did that too against the Eagles. Kind of a called it on that.
Wait, Dave, can I say one more thing about the Chargers? Because it just hit me. We've played 3 weeks, okay? Week one, Keenan Allen lost for the season. Mm-hmm. Week two, Danny Woodhead lost for the season. Week three, Manti Te'o lost for the season.
Dang.
I can't make it up.
You can't.
Whose turn is it this week? Melvin Gordon? I mean, who's next? It's unbelievable. Okay, go ahead. I'm done.
I feel
it's
your pain.
Like if you have an injury, you're out for the season. There's no like, oh, okay, it's not so bad. Nope, out for the season. All right, thanks.
Oh man, it is brutal, I must say. So I've got nothing to add to that. Let's go ahead and go to the picks. Then we go back to our leader, Andy in Seattle. Andy, whenever you're ready, let's make it happen. It's all yours, Andy.
Oh, all right. Let me just freeform a little bit more because these guys were ranting, and I'm fired up now too. Yeah, like seriously. The Saints. No one should let any, you know, friends don't let friends drive drunk. Friends should not let friends take the Saints, okay? They're 4-11 at home in the past, like, two-plus seasons. That is just fraudulent. But if you listen to the experts on ESPN or NFL Network, you're still going to cite the home crowd and home field advantage. You can't. And even without Rex Ryan, that defense is just pathetic. It's sad. It's sad. It's pathetic and sad. And Denver, if Denver plays Tampa this week, and I'm assuming they're going to win, and then surprisingly, if Atlanta beats Carolina, all of a sudden Atlanta is in the driver's seat in that pathetic armpit of the division. That's kind of scary. And then I think the Colts-Jaguars game in England, loser should stay there because you don't deserve to come back to the States. Whoever loses that game, but I'll rest my case there, and let's go to the picks here. So,
all right.
Again, we have to pick two of these. I wrote down four, so eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Game number one, I'm going to take New England, giving 4.5 to the Rex Ryan Bills. This is basically a Rex will be reading his press clippings for the past 6 days, and I know he's got these weird flights, so maybe last week against the Cardinals, he's like, they treated my daddy bad when my daddy was coach, so I'm gonna go at them full speed ahead. And he had his personal Super Bowl against the Jets the week before, and he lost that. And I know when he came to the AFC East his first time with the Jets, he said he wasn't going to bow down and kiss Bill Belichick's rings, but they haven't really done well against the Patriots in either his Bills tenure or Jets tenure. So I'm just going to take New England. It's the last game before Mr. Tom comes back. It's 4.5. Some books don't even have a line, but our website does. The consensus is 4.5. I don't know if it's going to be Brissett or Garoppolo, whoever it is. Maybe it's, the ball boys from a couple years ago. But I think they'll just be able to be fundamental, don't even do anything too stupid, just pound the ball with Blount, which they've been doing time and time again. I mean, Blount looks amazing. Not to sound like a homer, but he looks young, he looks refreshed, he looks strong. Don't get hurt. You know, running backs can get hurt on any given play, so just stay healthy. Just pound away, pound away, pound away. Rob Ryan will just open up that Bills defense. Patriots can just gash away. Gronkowski came back last week, but he was basically like a decoy. He didn't do much. He was just standing out there, walking here and there. I expect him to be a little more involved this week because I believe he'd be closer to 100%. I'm not a big Tyrod Taylor guy. I think the Patriots defense will be able to keep him in check. I mean, last week they goose egged Houston. I know Houston gave the Patriots some short fields with the loafs on the kickoff, but their offense looked pathetic. Even bad teams are able to score at least 3 points, 10 points, whatever it may be. I mean, I don't think the Patriots will do another shutout, but I think they'll have some fun at the expense of the Bills. And the Bills are a team that are going to be up and down all year. You know, after a nice big win, they will just, channel their inner Craig Kimbrell and not focus and lay a goose egg. And I think this will be a goose egg at Foxborough at the hands of the Patriots. So game number one, giving New England -4.5. Game number two, we're going to wait till Monday night, and we're going to take the Minnesota Vikings, giving 4.5 to Eli and McAdoo. This is a game I am just personal anti-Giant this week. Been anti-Giants all year. You know, sometimes I'll wager on them, but not this year, not yet. Everyone wants to know if Sean McDonough or John Gruden is going to hate the Giants. I mean, John Gruden, I've yet to find any team or player that John Gruden doesn't like, but come Monday night, we might hear some rumblings that he's being really mean to the Giants. And Sean McDonough, this is his first go-around to an NFL. He might hate the Giants when all is said and done. Because, you know, Giants can never get a break with their announcers. But this is a
granted, like John said, the Minnesota Vikings might be doing it with a little bit of smoke and mirrors. I mean, their offense does not wow you. They don't have, like, explosive playmakers. But against the Giants' defense, you might not need to make explosive plays. You just might need to get a roughing the passer, a personal foul, a delay of game, too many men on the field. There's 40 yards right there, okay? So if you just can rely on the Giants making the most boneheaded plays after boneheaded plays, you know, you might get 7 to 10 points just by being on the field at the same time as the Giants. As for the Giants' offense, you know, same thing. Eli forcing it. The running game really hasn't gotten going. ODB is a throws tantrums if he doesn't get the ball thrown in his direction enough times. I think the Vikings' defense will be aggressive, and I force Eli to loaf it up, throw it up. And I think, yeah, Zimmer, I know Zimmer, people were mocking Zimmer the other day when he was being coy about whether or not who he was going to start at quarterback, and they're like, Zimmer, you're not Lombardi, just name your quarterback, please. But I still think he's on the moon compared to McAdoo. I don't really know what to expect out of McAdoo, but I do think the Giants fans will be calling for Tom Coughlin sooner rather than later, because that's just the way they are. I think it's going to be a long night for the Giants on Monday. So give me Minnesota -4.5, and just like the first game, 4.5 Patriots against the Bills.
Okay, thanks for the picks, Andy, and we will see how those go over the course of the weekend. Very good stuff. So now let's go to John in Connecticut for the week number 4 NFL picks. John, it's all yours when you are ready.
All right, Dave. We'll start here in jolly old England. Don't know why I'm picking this game, but I guess it'll give me an excuse to get up and watch it between the Colts and Jaguars, and I agree with Andy. The loser of this game should just stay there. Maybe fire their coach. I think the Dolphins fired, Philbin after they lost the London game last year. Maybe one of these two teams will do the same thing. And in my scenario, it's Gus Bradley who's getting fired. We'll go with the Colts -2.5. Again, you know, I am not a fan of the Colts. I think, you know, Andrew Luck just completely gave the game away 2 weeks ago against Denver, or gave the cover away anyway. And last weekend, kind of the same thing against the Colts, against the Chargers, until that final drive where, admittedly, you know, he made a nice throw, and then, you know, Hilton breaks it for the touchdown. But they really haven't been impressive at all this year. Kind of what you figure, Cohen, he has absolutely no protection on the offensive line. It's just getting hammered all game, and which, you know, would lead him to make these mistakes. But going up against a hapless team like the Jacksonville Jaguars, who they just find ways to lose every single week. Last week against the Ravens, I mean, Bortles just making bonehead play after bonehead play. You know, we saw week one against the Packers. They could not finish the game when they were in position to do so. And then against the Chargers, they just get blown off the field. So I trust Luck in kind of a close game. You know, this will be ugly, to maybe make one more play than Bortles, or maybe Bortles makes that one mistake that he seems to make at the end of the game. And you're only given 2.5, so the Colts just have to win by a field goal, and I think by some way they will. So Colts by 3, -2.5 for game number 1. Game number 2, we'll go to Sunday night, and Dave, we'll take your squad. We'll go with the Steelers, giving the 5.5 points against the Kansas City Chiefs. Now the Steelers, they just come off that embarrassing loss in Philadelphia. You know, their road-home splits are pretty distinct. We've seen it the last couple of years anyway. Steelers just don't show up for some road games. However, usually they respond big in a big way at home, and that's what I expect this Sunday. I expect a big offensive show with the return of Le'Veon Bell. They're going to want to get that bad loss out of their mouth last week, and I just see them throwing all over the Chiefs. I know the Chiefs had a great defensive performance against the Jets, but I just don't see Alex Smith and their offense keeping up with the Steelers. I think this will be a showcase for the Steelers, and they'll win this one pretty easy. I actually think they'll put up over 30 points in this game, something like, you know, 35-21 or something like that. I'd be very surprised if the Steelers don't show up and play well in this spot. So give me the Steelers -5.5, and we'll go the other game, the Colts -2.5 in the London game. Your picks for week number 4 in the NFL.
Nicely done, John. Thanks very much for the picks. And looking forward to that Steelers game. I also expect a bounce back from Pittsburgh after that game against Philadelphia. I mean, like you said, like they're not. Sometimes they just have weird games like that, and that was one of them. So I imagine they'll be better defensively this time around. Let's go to my picks. 1-3 last week, as we mentioned, and I was there have been moments where I thought I would have an NFL pick, and I didn't. Last week was not that point in time. the game I missed by a lot. But you know what we're going to call this? We are going to call this a second chance game. Game number one, we return to the Carolina Panthers. And we will take them. Yes, despite the loss against the Vikings, despite the struggles that they've been having, even against the 49ers in the week before. Now, you know what? There's still offensive power on this team, and I think the Falcons' defense, I guess, is better than it was last year, because obviously they've been winning some games by pretty resounding margins, and they actually really outplayed the Raiders in the week before the Monday night game they had against New Orleans. So I got to tell you, the Falcons are not that bad, but I also think that there's a little bit too much popularity for them in terms of the they're getting too much popularity at the books. So I'm going to go with the Panthers. I know they haven't looked great, but their offense is still pretty good, and I do think that they'll win the game. They're only giving 3 on the road, so we'll go Panthers -3. Game 2. How about them Cowboys? Yeah, that's right. We're going to Dak Prescott and the boys going to the West Coast at the 49ers, and I don't know why the line is only 3. It's kind of interesting, but I realize that, you know, when you give points on the road, that means that you're an exceptionally good matchup against this team. Look, I know the 49ers can play well defensively, but they looked horrendous against the Seattle Seahawks, and they turn the ball over all the time. Gabbert is just not getting it done, although he's probably going to get the start this time around. I had thought about not taking the game to contingent on whether they started somebody else, but I understand that Gabbert will get the start. We'll see. Assuming that, we'll go Cowboys. They really aren't that bad, I gotta tell you. You know, Dak Prescott's doing okay so far in the early going, so we like him. The boys -3 against the Niners, and the Panthers -3 at the Falcons. The Dave in the City week number 4 NFL picks. Okay, so that brings us now to Ron in New Jersey's picks, and here they are. He selects game number 1, the Thursday game. He will go with the Bengals at home -7 against the Dolphins. And for game number 2, he's going to go with his hometown team, the J-E-T-S Jets, getting 1.5 at home against the Seahawks, who I don't remember. I'm going to go to Andy for this question. So, Bengals -7, Jets +1.5 for Ron in New Jersey. But what's the status on Russell Wilson? Because I understand that he was a little gimpy, and there was some talk about whether he'd start. Is he going to be all right to start that game against the Jets, Andy?
Pete says he's playing.
All right.
As of today, Pete said he's playing.
Well, I think that if that's the case, then we could have a pretty good game on our hands between those two teams. So we'll see how it goes. Now let's go to John in Stamford, who we call Yachts. Let's hear it, my friend, for the week number 4 NFL picks.
Well, everyone knows that the Giants have 9 starting cornerbacks, so I don't know how everyone doesn't just pick them in every single week.
Every week.
But I'm also going to stay away from them as well. And it was very tempting to look at that Chargers-Saint game, because I hate Chargers being a 4-point favorite, but I definitely understand where John's coming from when it comes to picking the Saints. The caveat would be, well, they're playing the Chargers, and Drew Brees is returning, so I don't know if that's the factor. But anyway, I'm not picking that game. I'm picking the two that I like have already been picked, and I agree with both of them, so I'm not going to really add anything new, unfortunately, but two lines that jumped out at me were New England -4.5. I mean, you know, I think people, oh, look at Buffalo. They beat Arizona last week. So I think that caused the number to go down a little bit. But again, what I said before, it's going to be Bill Belichick And I don't hate Rex, but it's going to be Bill Belichick versus Rob Ryan. Do I have to say anything else? I don't think I do. So I that's why a 4.5-point line to me seems a little low there. I know it's a division game. I know Rex and Bill and all that stuff, but I definitely like the Patriots to cover, and I do like the blount pound you thing that Andy was saying. My second game is, I agree with you, Dave, and I know the meme. Oh, my God, you agree with Dave. I guess the Falcons are winning. But in all honesty, I think people are overreacting to what the Falcons did last week. Now, one thing that was impressive, though, is that Julio Jones didn't really do too much in that game, and they still put up those amount of points. But I don't know. It's against the New Orleans defense. Okay. I'm not completely sold yet, and I'm not completely sold that Carolina is down. I just don't think they're going to be 1-3, and I just don't think the Falcons are going to be 3-1. So just, you know, the Atlanta is now going to play what I think to be a very good defense, and we're just going to see how that plays out. So it's, my picks are Patriots -4.5 is the number I saw, and then Carolina -3.
All right. Thanks very much for those guest picks, John, a.k.a. Yachts. And a quick word about the guest picks themselves. I forgot to bring this up in the open. Guest picks going into this week are 8-6. So John has a chance to keep that thing above 500, which would go a long way towards a good record for guest pickers. So this has been a lot of fun. I want to thank everybody once again for coming on, and we look forward to having our friend Ron in New Jersey join us again next week. We'll go final thoughts for everybody. We begin with John in Connecticut. Final thoughts for the week as we go into a most exciting football weekend.
Yeah, it should be an interesting weekend of games. The calendar switches to October. You have, you know, the temperatures are going to come down a little bit. You have that, you know, the fall foliage will be here, so we're really getting into the middle of the season, and you know, can't wait to watch the games and you know, shake it all out and talk about it again next week. So should be a good one.
All righty, so let's go to Andy in Seattle. Final thoughts.
I think I'm 15-23-2 betting NFL through 3 weeks. So I promise, once we get a decent week, we'll be more coherent in our thoughts, and we won't feel the need to just vent and just have all sorts of rambling thoughts and make zero sense. But I appreciate this platform to just sound off. It feels good. Other people can be like, you can also count to 10 or just relax. You know, it's not life or death. But sometimes it is. I've been angry on Sunday nights. And I hate Monday mornings. So I need a good week. And I don't see a psychiatrist. So this is good. And I will say this. I'm psyched up for the Ryder Cup. A lot of juice. Get the juices flowing for the Ryder Cup. And, you know, to wrap it all up with these bad coaches and sloppy quarterback play, like, are we sure Chad Henne and Blake Bortles aren't the same guy? I know Chad Henne is gone, but, I mean, Blake Bortles just gets this pass of being this brick that's got a great arm but can't put it together. And as we've documented, all you hear about is Houston, and they're going to take the next step. And this year they tried to do it with Jacksonville, and even I got on board with that and took them week two against the Chargers, and that wasn't very smart. But, I mean, when is Bradley and Bortles going to have to, you know, make some decisions? You're right, they might fire Bradley, because I think they got a bye after this London game, so they could be filled in 2.0. But, you know, I don't get it sometimes. I mean, some of these teams just look so inept. So let's try to make a buck or two this weekend.
All right, Andy, you know, I tell you, it's just as Junkie said last week, there are a lot of crappy teams in the NFL this year, it seems like, you know. And some of those trendy teams not looking so hot in the early going, too. And I think Jacksonville's actually a great example. I thought that Jacksonville might have had a better year this year. I was even silly enough to think that they would win the division, but gosh, Not happening, man. Like, who's going to win the AFC South right now? That's the kind of the question for me.
It's going to be Houston. It's going to be Houston, I think. They're going to get a home game. It's just disgusting. Unless Tennessee can step it up. I want Mariota to do well.
Yeah, I do too.
And they had a game-tying touchdown called back last week because of offensive pass interference.
Oh, you hate that when that happens. Yeah, it does get a little boring when the same team ends up having that division win and they end up on, like, Saturday at 4:30 Eastern against usually Cincinnati or Kansas City or something like that. It's like, I mean, y'all said it right on the nose. Like, it's like the more things change, the more they stay the same. It's just really funny. So let's see. John, did I go to you on the final thoughts already, or am I still yet to pass it to you, John, in Connecticut?
No, I'm good, Dave. You can throw it to Yachts for his final thoughts.
Okay, so Yachts, final thoughts as we head into the weekend for football.
Yeah, Andy brought up a good point with Bortles, and I would say that the even longer version of that is Ryan Tannehill. How long have we been hearing that he's, you know, on this next level, or this is going to be his year that he's, you know, he's the next great thing, and we're still waiting, right?
Right.
Another thing on a personal note is that when this has been mentioned by others when it involved their team, and it definitely impacts me with my team. I hate when people are like, oh, sorry, Yachts, when the Chargers lost. Oh, sorry, Yachts. I hope that those people, and this is one of my favorite Andy lines that of all time, is like, I hope they have the eternal cold toilet when they sit down. It never warms up. It's just so annoying. Like, just be quiet. I know you mean well, but I don't want to hear from you. You know? And as far as the weekend in football goes, I'm definitely, you know, I think the Chargers, all kidding aside and all, like, woe is me aside, they have a shot this week. The problem is it is the Saints offense is still good. They don't have a defense, and it's Drew Brees coming back. So that could be an intriguing thing, like Brees versus Rivers, the last two Chargers quarterbacks battling. I really, you know, that Wisconsin-Michigan game really intrigues me, and, you know, I hope I have some fun at the Notre Dame game this week. And thanks for having me as your guest.
Oh, it was a pleasure, my friend. I'm very thankful to have you on. It was a good time. So, John, all the best, and that goes to the rest of you as well, John in Connecticut, Andy in Seattle. All the best to all of y'all. Enjoy the game, John and Stanford, and enjoy all the rest of the games, everyone else. And good luck to the picks. Guys, enjoy the weekend and hopefully more of the same next week. So take it easy, everybody.
All right.
Thanks, Dave.
Good luck, everybody.
Thanks, Dave. See you all later.
All right, fellas. That's it for the show. That's our program. Thanks again, John in Stanford, Andy in Seattle, John in Connecticut, and your host, that's me, Dave Medina. Have a wonderful week, everyone. Enjoy your weekend. Two shows next week, baseball preview for the postseason. Football picks week number 6. It's all your way next week here on DidCow.com. Until then, follow us at DidCow on Twitter. We'll see you next time.